CPA After Dark.
What's going on, guys, and welcome back to CPA After Dark. I am one of your hosts, Kristen Graham, a business owner and entrepreneur, and I'm with my beautiful co-host, Marit Bermud, who is my personal CPA and a public speaker.
Oh, hi, guys. Nice to be here.
I threw that one in for you.
I'd so love proud that. Of you.
Thank you. So today we're talking about, you probably know from the title, S-Corps. And it's one of my favorite topics, but I will say S-Corps can be expensive. So definitely listen to this episode all the way through. If you're thinking about doing an S-Corp or if you're thinking about electing as an S-Corp, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But I know you like how I said that, Marit.
I love that. Yeah.
But there, it can be expensive. So make sure you literally really watch this one all the way through, because we're going to get into a lot. And S-Corps can be a great tax strategy, but it also can be expensive. So if you're not ready for it yet, then this will also help you to understand like when it's time to like, you know, lay on the brakes a little bit and maybe wait until you get to where you need to be to elect as an S-Corp.
I think that's a great way to start it. And I also agree, any videos that we do on S-Corps, if you're interested, I also agree to, you know, with the suggestion that you watch them all the way through, because I have to say, no shade to the tax professionals out there, but there are a lot of people out there who are doing taxes who also really don't fully understand the S-Corp and all of its nuances. I mean, tax in general takes a long time to learn. I've been doing it for over a decade. I have a master's degree in taxation. I'm an enrolled agent, which means I also studied and took the test with the IRS. So I've got that hands-on experience, tons of educational experience. I do my CE all the time. And I tell you what, I could learn tax for another 40 years before I felt like I had a good grip on, I don't even know if that would even, I could get a good grip at that time. But my point is that when you take your power back and you learn these basics of an S-Corp and not just, you know, the quick, you know, things that you see on social media, then you also are taking control of your taxes and your finances simply by understanding enough that you can ask these questions to your tax professional. If they don't know the answer to something you ask, that's actually okay. It's okay for a tax professional to research it. In fact, I prefer to be honest and tell my clients, I'm going to have to research that, because I have met tax professionals who will just fake it and, you know, give you an answer that isn't correct. And you don't want that when you're doing strategies such as the S election. So knowledge is power. I'm excited we're going to talk about it. And let's see, where should we kick it off? What do you think?
So, I mean, I know for me, like I have an S-Corp, we've talked about this before. For me, I know we were studying, Chris and I, and we realized we were killing it. It was back in 2020 and we had a year, we were just killing it. And we were looking at the end of the year and we were like, we're gonna owe a lot of money. A lot, an uncomfortable amount of money. And I like to be uncomfortable, but not when it comes to just sending a big check to Uncle Sam. That is where I draw the line. And so this is kind of a good place to start, like dollar wise, because I said in the beginning that S-Corps can be expensive. So dollar wise, where would you say a business should be roundabout for it to actually be worth it financially to elect as an S-Corp?
That's a great question. And my recommendation is generally between $40,000 and $50,000 of your net income. So your gross income minus your expenses. And I want to reiterate here that paying yourself is not an expense. I'm talking about your business expenses. So your net income minus all of the expenses to actually, you know, have your business run functionally. And then that net profit, that bottom line, we want that to be at about $40,000 or $50,000. And that's where making the S election actually can start to save you money on taxes. Now, the reason why I say that is when you look at the savings at a lower amount, say you're at $30,000 net, you will see savings. Say you will see what? $3,000 of tax savings if you make the S election. However, by the time you, you know, hire a tax preparer to it's a separate tax return. So you're going to have to pay for a separate tax return. You need to have run some payroll to show the IRS that you're doing reasonable compensation. All of these little administrative costs will eat up that $3,000 in savings. And now you're making the yes election to have more headache on your plate in terms of the compliance than you saved. So that's why you know, the suggestion from most tax professionals is $40,000 to $50,000, because now you've paid for all that and you have a few thousand left over that you saved instead of paying. And then the higher your net income is, the more you can save.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely, that's why I'm saying like this can be, it can be expensive. So you have to have enough net income for it to actually be worth it for you financially. So that's kind of like the first, I guess, bullet point on an S-Corp, I think. Mm-hmm. Also, I keep saying it, so maybe we should get into this a little bit. An S election, right? So let's talk a little bit about that, because I'm not saying I am an S Corp. I'm saying I file with an S election. So I am an LLC that files with an S election. So what does that mean?
I just have hearts popping out of my eyes when you speak.
I know, I make you so proud. Yeah. I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, we're filming today. What can I say to make Marit so proud of me?
You can say that it's an S election and it's not an actual entity. So and we did put out a video about LLCs and entities. And if you want to watch that, I think that'd be a great place to start to understand that, you know, the basic theory that your business can be registered with your Secretary of State as this legal entity to protect you, right? Asset protection. When it comes to an S Corp, you're not going to go to a state and register as an S Corp like you would with an LLC or a corporation. That's because the S corporation is technically a tax election that you are making with the IRS to say, hey, I'm Kristen. I made a lot of money this year. And I want to elect to be taxed as an S Corp and not, if it's just you, you would be taxed as a disregarded entity. So the S election is something that you tell the IRS, I would like to use this tax designation for my business. But they have rules, quite a few rules, as to when you can actually make the election. So the one of the foundational rules is that your business needs to, for most people, small business owners, they're going to want you to be registered with your Secretary of State as either an LLC or a corporation. And I would say always proceed with caution if you are thinking about registering your business as a corporation. That's a whole nother video we should actually do, Kristen, to talk about any pros that there would be to register your business entity as a corporation and all of the cons. So dialing it back to just a general taxpayer, our listeners who are just out there, you know, hustling and making money and having their businesses, generally you're filed as an LLC with your state. But if you haven't, so let's say Kristen, she made all this, she did the right thing and she had gotten her LLC set up before she really started doing business, right? But let's say you are starting to do business and you just don't know yet. And come July, you start in January and come in July, you're like, wow, I'm really killing it. And, you know, things are starting to gear up and maybe I should get an LLC in place. And then so you do that in July. And then come November, you look at your profit and loss and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to pay so much in taxes. I need to make an S election. Well, you're going to go to your preparer and there is relief to make a late S election where you can say, hey, I want to have this tax status for, you know, before now. I don't want to do it starting from now because you made all that money for the 2024 tax year. You're in November. You're like, I don't want to make the S election for 25. I want to do it for 24. It's called retroactive. You can do that, but you can only do it up to the point to where you had your LLC. So in this example, you now have those first 6 months of income as just a sole proprietor that you're going to be required to file on a Schedule C and pay the self-employment tax, the full 15.3% on that income. And then you can make a retroactive S election to July when you had your LLC in place. And from July to moving forward, now you can use the S election tax status there to reduce your taxes. So that's kind of a little thing that we affectionately call S Corp insurance. If you're starting a business and you actually really are like, I know this thing's going to make a lot of money and you know you're sticking to it, you're taking it seriously, it is smart to just get an LLC from the jump, because you don't want to have that time period of, you know, income locked to where you can't, you know, you have to pay self-employment taxes on every penny because you can't make the S election for that period until you're an LLC. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
I tried to break that down a little.
Yeah. So in 2020, I had gotten lucky because I had started my LLC back in 2016. So I was lucky the way that that worked out. But yeah, in your case, where you're talking, somebody started during that year, that makes perfect sense. And then they opened up their LLC in July, so they can only go back to July with the S election, which makes perfect sense. You're going to find out real quick that if you killed it, that 15.3% is it, the self-employment tax you're going to pay in the first half of the year versus what you're going to have happen in the second half of the year. You're going to see it visually as to why the S Corp is so attractive. If you're killing it, you're going to see it right there in plain black and white, nice, beautiful, big old numbers on that tax return.
Painful numbers. Numbers.
It can be painful. Save.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you do the S election, you can easily compute what your taxes would have been. When you do the S election and you see the savings that you make, it is so worth paying the extra money, the attorneys, the corporate books, things like that. It is worth it if you're doing well enough to be able to afford to do the S election. It's definitely worth it.
I agree. I think that that's kind of what Kristen is saying, is that with the self-employment tax, that's really where you get that big tax savings with the S election, is that now instead of paying 15.3% of self-employment tax, this is on top of your federal income tax. So I don't think a lot of people understand. If you are engaged in a business, the IRS is expecting you to pay FICA, which is Social Security, and Medicare on your half as the employer and your half as the employee. So you know, when you're just filing on a Schedule C, you're paying both halves, and that's going to be based on the computation of net income. And that's that. That's literally money out the door. That's not something that's reduced by business expenses, and you're left with that bottom line net income number. Anything that net income multiplied by 15.3%, you have to physically pay to the IRS. And then you can get the one half self-employment tax deduction paid on the computation of your federal income tax. But I know that confuses a lot of people. It used to confuse me. And that is really the breakdown of it, is that 15.3% is literal cash out of your pocket paid to the IRS. So obviously, if there's a strategy for us to reduce that amount of cash that's coming out of your pocket, we want to find it, right? And so that's the S Corp. S Corp, that net income that your business shows is not subject to self-employment tax. So any of that bottom line will go over to your K-1 and be subject to federal income tax, but it's not going to be subject to self-employment tax. So that's really where the tax savings come in. The IRS does expect you as an S Corp to pay yourself a reasonable salary, which is subject to the FICA, but that can still be a lot less than what your net income shows.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the final point I want to make here, when we're talking about the fact that you want to have a certain amount of profit before you make the S election, is the fact that if your business is showing a loss, you do not want to make the S election, okay? If your business is showing a loss, keep it as a Schedule C or a partnership 1065. Obviously, you don't want to show losses on Schedule Cs for years moving forward. It's kind of an audit trigger, yada, yada, yada. We can get in that different day. But the S election, they have a different ways of computating your basis to take the loss. Again, this is kind of, you know, tax heavy right here. But my whole point is that it's a lot easier to take the loss when you're on a Schedule C than it is in an S election. So we don't recommend, you know, making the S election if your business is running at a loss. And again, not if it's at a small profit. We want to see that at $50,000 or above. And I don't know if we've really broken down too much the maintenance expenses. You kind of mentioned corporate books and a few other things. So why don't you give them a little detail on that?
Yeah. So, and I've talked about this in other videos. I know we talked about like LLCs and stuff, and I use a company called Main Street Business. So I do have my corporate books done every year, and Main Street Business, that's one of the things that they do for me. It is, well, I guess you'd call it like compliance services for my business. So I'm a business owner. I work literally around the clock. And those of you that are also business owners, you know that if you're not working, you're not making money. So my phone is by my side. It's by my side right now. If a client needs me, I'm there. So I have enough to deal with on like the business aspect. I don't have time to do all of the accounting and compliance and all that, you know, stuff, but it needs to get done, right? So compliance services, I use Main Street Business. It's $199 a year, and I sound like an advertisement. I don't get anything for saying that, but I just love them because I don't have to physically do my corporate books. They're doing it for me. And for $199, that is so cheap to not be my headache. So there's your corporate books. When you file your taxes, you're not just filing your 1040. Now you have a business tax return as well. So that's going to, you're going to have to get charged for a whole separate return. So that's something else.
I have one.
Yeah. What is it?
I have one. You're going to want to have more communication with a tax advisor and not just a tax preparer.
Beautiful.
And I mean, even if you're just paying for like a consultation in the middle of the year and one at the end of the year, because also when you are operating your business as an S corp, it's kind of like a hybrid between a corporation and then your own little LLC. So the IRS has some funky rules here. So let's say you have a home office, right? And if you had a normal Schedule C, you would be taking the home office expense on your Schedule C and moving on with your life. But now that you are the owner of an S corporation, well, the IRS kind of looks at it as a corporate entity. So this is a corporation and they're paying you on a W-2. That's why we do the reasonable comp, right? You're kind of like a owner, you're kind of like a shareholder, you're kind of like an employee. It can get confusing. There's ways that you need to be reimbursed for your personal expenses. You can't just deduct it anymore in 1120S like you would on a Schedule C. Now you need to have an accountable plan in place is what the IRS requires for S corp shareholders who are, you know, employees as well. They want, and it's just like if you worked in a normal corporation and say you're working in this corporation and they're like, well, we want you to work from home and we'll reimburse you for your home office expense. Just give us, you know, the receipts showing how much you paid in utilities and what your square footage is, and then we'll pay you a specific amount, right? And so that's how you would get reimbursed. Same with your car. You're like, well, I'm driving my personal car, you know, to do company business, but the company doesn't own the car. Your car is not on their books. Well, then in within the accountable plan, they're going to have a provision that's going to say, okay, please turn in your mileage every, you know, whatever the accountable plan says, and we will reimburse you. And for the S corp to take that expense, there needs to be that deduction. There needs to be that expense paid back to the employee, the reimbursement. And then the employee is reimbursed for using something personal of theirs to help further the company operations. I always think about it Like my husband used to work for a really big corporation. And before he was given a company credit card, when he would take a client out to a meal or he would have to go buy things for the office or whatever, he would just use our personal card. And then he would submit the receipt to, you know, the company and they would reimburse him the money that he personally spent. So it's kind of like that. These are the things that if you just make the S selection and then you're just running and you're not talking to a tax advisor through the year and you're just getting your taxes done and then you come to them at the end of the year and say, well, I want to take mileage. I want to take the home office. It's going to be a lot harder for you to substantiate if you don't have that in the first place. And your tax preparer might not even know about it and they might be as confused as you are. So it's really important when you're doing that high level stuff to have a high level tax advisor by your side, which is
absolutely cost,
right.
It's not it cheap. Definitely helps when, no, it's not, but the value that you get, and I've said this before, cheap is expensive. My grandpa used to say that, but it helps too. Like I know for me, like my tax advisor is my CPA. So for me, I like that because I don't have to go take my stuff to like, you know, some other accountant that's not as pretty as you, of course, and tell them like, this is what Marit said for that my tax strategy should be. And then, I mean, these are kind of intense, deep dive tax strategies. So if I bring it to somebody else, they might say like, well, I don't think you could do that. And it's like, well, I know I can because Marit is very smart and she told me I can. But if that accountant doesn't know, it's not going to get done. So you want to be really careful with who you pick. And I like to like, I don't know, keep it in the family is probably not the right way to say that, but keep it together. So everybody's, I like actually, you know, you've talked to my attorney or my attorney. You've talked to you. That to me, that's huge. Like to have my accountant be able, my accountant and my tax strategist be on a call when I'm on a call with an attorney, my attorney. That's huge. Everybody's on the same playing field. She has a question for the attorney, she can ask it. And I'm cool with it. Like I want us to have open communication. So, I mean, and that brings me to the next one, the attorney. Attorneys cost money. I think I pay like $150 or $190 an hour or something like that. So I try and make my calls real quick with my attorney. But and the amount of times honestly that I need him throughout the year are it's minimal, but like I just opened up another LLC or I'm in the process of opening up another LLC and I had a call with him and actually that call I didn't get charged for. That was lumped into like the $1,500 that it costs to open up my next LLC. So, but it does cost money to hire an attorney. But when you go into the S Corp election, you have a lot more moving parts now. It is a good idea to have an attorney as well. So definitely want to have these business professionals on hand to handle the things that are beyond your genre.
You guys watch this episode and now you know some of the questions you can ask as you're vetting these professionals to be a part of your circle. And Kristen, you're totally right. I have multiple. It's like the more business you do and the more money you have on the line within your business, the more you really need a team, right? And I am a team with multiple attorneys and multiple financial planners and myself with different clients, and they've chosen different professionals, right? So they'll have a different attorney than the one Kristen uses and multiple different financial planners depending on the client. Me as the CPA that they've chosen, but I work in these teams with these other financial planners and legal professionals because that is what you need. You need to have someone in every specialty area to ensure that your money is being handled properly as you grow. But then you also need to be the captain of your own ship and learn what questions to ask. So if you're vetting a CPA or an EA or a tax professional and they say, I'll provide you with a few consultations. Yes, I want to have communication with you through the year. And you say, well, let's say I want to start making the S election. What do I do with my personal vehicle? How do I take miles on that if it's only 50% business use? You know, what do I do with the home office? How is that going to work? Do I get to still take the home office deduction? If they're not talking about accountable plans and they really are confident in their answers, that's all you need to know. You don't need to know details. You need to know when they hear those questions, do they understand what you're saying and can they give you an educated response in return?
Yeah, and feel confident about it.
Yeah. And this podcast is free. All you have to do is subscribe and watch. So we're already getting you going the best we can.
Yeah. So absolutely. Like going on what you're saying now. So you guys are watching this. Hopefully you watched it all the way through and you're getting information. You're doing your homework. So this is just one step. We have other videos out there. If you think maybe an LLC is better for you, you can watch an episode on that. But we're putting out this information to help educate you on different strategies. So you're here. Make sure you subscribe because there's going to be a lot more information put out on all different tax strategies and wealth building. But make sure you hit that subscribe button so you can see us on the next episode of CPA After Dark.